Tonight, inshallah, because of the coming of Ramadan, I thought we will talk about a nice, easy, yet deep topic called the signs of Allah's love in His slave. It's from the book Riyadh al-Salihin, so let us, inshallah, begin. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not like His creation. Isn't that true? And we are not like Allah. There is nothing like unto Him. And some people don't know Allah well in the way that He described Himself to us, and His names and attributes. And when you don't know Allah's names and attributes and how He described Himself to us, people start to make up their own assumptions about who Allah is. For example, some people don't know that Allah can love or hate a person. Allah can be angry with a person or pleased with a person. Isn't that true? Some people call Allah that God is all loving. And that's it. And this is the main faith or the belief of Christians. They always tell you God loves you, Jesus loves you, they say, right? Even Isa alayhi salam is the prophet and messenger of Allah. They say God is all love, or the all loving. Although it is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, He's merciful and all that, but it is wrong to say that Allah is just all loving. It sounds nice, but we have to say the truth. Allah commanded us to do things, and He told us not to do other things. And there are good people and evil people. Is that not true? Can you imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only love and that's it? It means He doesn't punish. It means He doesn't get angry. It means He won't hate anyone. You can do whatever you want, and Allah will still be loving. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although He tells us in the Quran, there are those whom He loves and those whom He does not love. For example, if we say that Allah loves everyone unconditionally, that means He also loves the tyrants of the world. He loves Pharaoh, who enslaved the children of Israel. He loves Nimrod, the king who was a tyrant in the time of Babylonia. He loves Hitler. He loves the people who killed and massacred many people. He loves everybody. He loves Shaitan. He loves Satan. He loves the devils. But nobody in their right mind will say, no, God does not love the devils. Nobody in right mind will say He loves Satan, He loves Hitler, He loves Fir'aun, He loves murderers, He loves rapists, He loves. No. Isn't that true? And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created paradise and hellfire, there are those whom He loves and those He does not love. So we have to monitor this. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about His love, for example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Among the people Allah loves are the ones who repent to Him. The ones after a long time of disobedience, of doing the wrong thing all their lives, neglecting Allah, going in the wrong way, suddenly something happens to them. They remember Allah, their hearts humble, and they return back to Him and say, I want to be a better Muslim. I want to love Allah again. I want to return back to Him. And then they change their ways. Allah says He loves that person. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Allah loves those who purify themselves. They purify their hearts, they purify their minds, they purify their behavior, their actions. Allah loves those who purify themselves. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who are pious and righteous. Why would He not love a pious and righteous person? وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who are muhsinin. What is muhsinin? Anyone know what muhsin is? Other than the name, Lebanese name, muhsin. Yo, muhsin, what's happening? But there's a meaning for that word. What's muhsin? Anyone know?
Those who do excellent in worship of Allah.
That is one degree. The meaning of ihsan, which is stronger than iman and Islam. You know when you owe someone something, Or when you don't owe someone something and you do good extra to what they deserve. You do good, but you do extra good. That's called ihsan, muhsin. Husband and wife. He turns around, his wife hasn't been good to him that week, but he still spends more. He still treats her better than what he thinks she deserves, because she's his wife. That's called ihsan. She turns around, not happy with her husband, maybe for the past whatever. Doesn't matter. She can find it in her heart to forgive him. She can show goodness to him, even if when she's upset. Even if the person doesn't deserve it, you show goodness to your parents. The best one is towards your parents, actually. Ihsan. Because it's hard sometimes. Sometimes our parents mistreat us. But for the sake of Allah, we do ihsan. Why? Not because they deserve it. If they deserve it, alhamdulillah, most of the time our parents do deserve it. But sometimes they don't. Some parents are pretty evil. But we do it for the sake of Allah. You remember that story I talked about? I don't know if you saw it on my YouTube channel. The talk I gave in the UK about a sheikh who I grew up with, who I grew up listening to in my younger days. Allah irham, we passed away. He had a father who was a communist and he swore at his son night and day. And then he became paralyzed. And he had a hole under his bed to do his thing, his release his excrements. And one day the sheikh didn't have a bucket there. His father was doing his thing and he grabbed his excrements in his own hands. And his father turned around and says, "Why would you do that, son?" He said, "Because I worship Allah. I want Allah to put me in paradise. And you are my test, Dad." And from that day he turned around. He said, "In Islam, a religion like that who calls you to do this stuff should be followed." And he died a believer. This is called ihsan. Of course, you don't put your cheek down for people to step on it. You're smart. But so long as there's no harm coming to you, you do ihsan. Someone doesn't deserve it, you do a little bit better. And that is why in Islam, if the Quran says, if somebody greets you with a greeting, greet them or reply to them in a better way. فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. If somebody greets you with a greeting, greet them the same way or better. Allah in fact says, greet them better or the same way. Allah loves you to do ihsan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah loves those who rely upon Him and trust Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah loves those who are just and fair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا. Allah loves those who fight and strive against evil and against injustice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like strong rows. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like certain people. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla kaffarin athim. Allah does not like every sinful, boastful, rebellious person against Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not like those who know the truth and rebel against it, disbelieve in Allah's signs while knowing it. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not love those who are oppressors and wrongdoers upon others. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Allah does not like those who walk around and speak and act as if they are superior to everyone else. فَخُور, full of pride, not in a healthy pride, the wrong pride. I'm better than everyone else. I don't need to listen to anyone else. I know what I'm saying. Even if it's the truth, I don't want it. Allah does not like these people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah doesn't like those who cause corruption in the land. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا. Allah does not like those who are betrayers and constantly doing the wrong knowingly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ. Allah doesn't like those who betray and cheat you. And so on. Allah does not like those people. We can't say that Allah loves everybody in the same land. Tayyib, brothers and sisters, having said this, one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds, for example, He tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disliked to them the most. Among them, for example, إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ الرِّجَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْأَلَدُّ الْخَصِمِ. For example, the most hated to Allah among men are the ones who are alad and khasim. Alad means they always swerve off the truth. They do not care about the truth. You tell them the truth, they'll fight you. And khasim, they always want to fight. Not only do they not want the truth, but they also fight. My way or the highway. Aladdu khasim, like this. I'll give you a simple example. Let's say you go outside and I see your car parked just a little bit close to my car, and I've got a bad temper. I grab a knife and I slash your tires. Why? Because you come out, the imam comes out, everybody says, "Ya akhi, you're in the wrong, you have to fix his tire." I don't care. No, I don't. I'm not in the wrong. He was too close to my car. But ya akhi, you slashed his tire. Everything could have... No, I'm not fixing his tire. And then I'll slash his other tire as well. I'll fight him. This is called aladdu khasim. Always fighting. You look, some people, you look at their face and you think, man, okay, this person looks like he just wants to fight with everyone. And this is, Allah says, this is the most hated person to him. Everywhere they go, they dispute, they fight. And alad means they always swerve off the truth. So these are just some examples. Those whom Allah loves, those whom Allah does not love. My brothers and sisters, in Riyadh al-Saliheen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us, how do we earn Allah's love? You want Allah's love? You want to get to it? How does a believer raise and increase the love of Allah to themselves? I'm going to give you a general formula, and then we'll look, inshallah, in detail. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 31, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Say, O Messenger of Allah, tell the people, if you truly do love Allah, if you truly do love Allah, then follow me. Follow who? Follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow Muhammad, peace be upon him. Then follow me. Your Lord will love you every day. Every day. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and he will also forgive all your sins. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. If you say, I love Allah, it is not enough with the tongue. Anyone can say, I love Allah, I love my deen, I love the Quran. But what is the sign? What is the proof? What is the evidence that you truly love someone? If somebody comes up to you and says, I love you, but never does anything that shows any closeness with you, in fact, they work against you. You have a friend who says, I love you, I'm loyal to you, I'm always with you. And then the first moment, they're two-faced. Next minute, they don't defend you. Another time, they talk about you. When you need them, they're not there. No, that's not a person who loves you. A husband and wife complain about this all the time. She says he's absent. His body is here, but his mind is somewhere else. He's always putting me down. Not really emotionally there for me. Where's love? She's always putting me down. No appreciation. I work night and day. She's always on my back, on my back. She doesn't guard my trust. She talks about me. Where's the love there? Isn't that correct? When you say love, there's evidence to love. It's not just a word. I love you, and you bring some flowers and that's it. No, that's manipulation. Well, if you mean it, that's good. But you have to show the love. Love is based on treatment. Love is based on actions. If we can't accept it between each other, and parents and children, children, parents, relatives, friends, husband and wife, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe, if you and I say, oh Allah, I love you, tayyib, how does Allah reciprocate that love? There's one way. Allah tells you the way for Allah to love you tremendously is through this. Follow me. Follow the Messenger of Allah. Why follow the Messenger of Allah? Because Allah says Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example and of the highest character in the entire world. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Messenger of Allah, you are full of amazing character. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the closest to Allah. Every action, every word, every narration we hear about him, every behavior is only a behavior, action, and word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves tremendously. So if you follow the Messenger, what's going to happen to you? You're going to automatically find the love and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you reach Allah. Simple formula. Follow me, Allah will love you back. Of course, the word follow me in what? What do we follow Rasulullah in? None of us here is able, or in the world is able, to follow the Prophet perfectly. None of us can ever reach his level. But what Allah is saying to us is, try your best to look at him as your role model. If you hear something about his behavior, try to work towards excelling in it. Something you're lacking in, improve in another area. The point is, try. Listen, learn about him, and then when you hear something about him, follow it. Sometimes you come to a Friday prayer, a sermon, and you hear the imam speaking. And the imam says, the khatib tells you a little story about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? For example, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once giving out charity. And then a Bedouin man came along. He said, Ya Muhammad, give me. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't notice because there was a large amount of people who were asking until the charity ran out. To the point where the Bedouin was so desperate that he grabbed the Prophet's collar. He pulled him down towards him until the collar marked a red line around the neck of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, instead of hitting him, swearing at him, yelling at him, bashing him, he leant with him. And he said to him, I have nothing left to give, but come to my house and I will feed you from what I feed my family. Took him home. And it was the Arab tradition that if you go to your house, you're allowed to stay there for 3 nights. He stayed at his house for 3 nights, ate and fed, and went away with a little gift. The man stood up in front of everybody and said, Oh Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad, and don't have mercy on anyone else. He said, nobody else deserves it but this man. But the Prophet ﷺ turned and said, Inna rahmatullahi wasi'a. Allah's mercy is far more greater and more encompassing. So then he said, Oh Allah, have mercy on me and have mercy on Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and have mercy on your servants. He said, now, you learn all this from the Prophet ﷺ, and now we try to emulate, try to work on our anger, try to work on our patience, try to work on understanding the weak-minded, try to work on generosity, try to change situations. We learn from the Prophet ﷺ many things. For Rasul ﷺ, for example, was honest and trustworthy. We try to emulate in honesty and trustworthiness. If a person worked for him or did some job, and he had an agreement with him, Rasul ﷺ would give him, and he would not delay giving him his right and more. Compare ourselves and we say, where are we from the Prophet ﷺ? Now, the more we emulate the Prophet, peace be upon him, first of all, in our hearts. It has to come out from here, not just on the outside. Some people, they put on a show in front of people. I emulate. In private at home, I'm a different person. Now, of course, we all have sins in secret. We're not, you know, exactly as we are. A lot of us are much more behaved in front of people. That's natural. But there is a difference between a person who deliberately puts on a face outside and on inside, he or she is completely the opposite. Nowhere near. That's hypocritical. The closer you are to how you are in public and secret, the more honest and trustworthy you are. And the more sincere you are, the more it's coming out from your heart. We might have one or two sins that we're struggling with in private and we feel guilty about it and we ask Allah to help us and assist us, but we're not talking about that. We're talking generally. The person is nice to everyone outside, comes home, is nasty to his wife and his children. She's nasty to him. That when no one's looking, they're thieves, they're liars, they're cheats. They come to the masjid, they'll pray 5 daily prayers, mashallah. But when someone does a job for them, they have a promise, they have an agreement, they don't even think about them. What job? What agreement? Someone hires you for a job. Yes, we'll do this and we're the best in the business. We go and do the job. 2 weeks later, there's leaks here and leaks there. Ah, get out of here. I take more money. I charge you double. Where's following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Following the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is when a person has an agreement with you and a promise, you fulfill that promise. You say, because I emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pardoned, he forgave. Are we able to forgive and pardon? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was patient. We work towards patience. Not just prayer and fasting. So, fattabi'uni. The more you follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more the love of Allah rises and falls. Sometimes Allah may love you more than other days, depending on what you've done from your heart, from your actions. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, don't think that you have to do a lot of work. Sometimes a little bit of work with a deep sincerity and honesty from your heart to Allah may be very valuable, more than anyone else who does a lot of work but is not consistent, for example. Or they're doing it to show off, or they're doing it for some kind of worldly gain. Maybe I want something from you. Maybe I'm trying to get you to give me a job somewhere, or so we can strike a deal so that we can work together in some business. Maybe you've got a famous name that I'm acting in a certain way of righteousness just to get you on board, and once I get you, I'll betray you. Allahu a'lam, God forbid that we are like that. So following the Prophet ﷺ earns the love of Allah, and depending on how much we follow, Allah's love increases or decreases. The Prophet ﷺ also said, the hadith is in Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever takes a righteous ally of mine as an enemy, whoever harms or shows animosity and hostility and enmity to a righteous ally servant of mine, man aada li waliyan, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, I declare war against that person. And there isn't anything that makes my servant come closer to me than the obligatory acts which I made upon him or her. What are the obligatory acts? Example. Salah, 5 or 4 or 3? How many? 5. What's another obligatory act? Siyam, Ramadan coming up. What's another obligatory act? Zakah. If you have money or wealth, gold, jewelry, silver, that's accumulated over a whole year, and it's more than a certain amount, more than 85 grams of gold, about, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, I think, a bit more, then you have to pay 2.5% of that if you have it saved up and you don't need it. Are you paying your zakah? Zakah is compulsory. What's another compulsory obligation? Huh? Birr al-walidain. Goodness to your parents is an obligation, as much as you can. What's another obligation? 2 more. Hajj, going once in your lifetime before whoever is able to afford to get there, is an obligation. 1 more obligation. What's another fard? Look, if you know the 5 pillars with the birr al-walidain, goodness to your parents, that's enough, inshallah. You'll enter paradise with that, if you do it well.
Hijab.
Striving and struggling in the path of Allah is another one, but that's, jihad is kind of, sometimes it can be, sometimes it can't. Sometimes it's voluntary. Hijab, for example, our covering, the woman's covering, the way the man has to cover, the way the woman has to cover, there is an obligation limit to that. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says, there is nothing that brings you closer to me, Allah says, than the obligatory acts that I made upon you. Allah didn't make them obligatory because he wants you to suffer, but rather he made them obligatory upon you because they are the most beloved acts to him. They are the ones that really make you rise and save you. Then he said, then my servant, after doing the obligatory acts, suddenly starts to do voluntary acts, voluntary good acts, constantly starts to build up things that I did not make obligatory on him. Give me some examples of voluntary good acts which Allah did not say you have to do them, but if you do them, he rewards you multiple folds. Huh? Tahajjud. Brother is saying, some people like to wake up in the middle of the night and pray a little bit. That's called tahajjud. You don't have to do it. You're not sinned if you don't do it. But if you do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this little act will play that role of bringing you that much closer to me. What's another voluntary act? Huh? Oh, something as simple as that, Habibi. Moving a harmful object off the road. Do you have to? No, you don't have to. But if you do, that little thing brings you closer to Allah that much. On one condition, that you believe in Allah already. And that when you move it, you're always intending for Allah to reward you. Someone said to me, but what if I'm not thinking about it? What if I do this voluntary act, but I'm not thinking like this? Oh God, I'm doing it for you. My intention is for you. What if I just did it because I'm a good person? I say to you, that's okay. The moment you said the shahada, when you said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and you pray to Allah and you do your obligations, then from then on, you make one intention, Ya Allah, accept all my good deeds. from that time onwards, any good deed you do is, guess what? Rewarded. Unless you intend for a wrong reason. That's what you got to watch out for. So a Muslim, any good deed you do, you're automatically rewarded and you get closer to Allah through it. Unless you intend for the wrong reason. And for example, let's say I walk out and there's this pretty sister who is single. And let's say I'm looking for, you know, a pretty single sister. I see her walking on the other side and I say every day at about 5 p.m. she crosses there. And then I see an obstacle on the road. And I say, is she looking? Is she looking? Is she looking? Hey, Muhammad, is she looking? He goes, yeah, bro, she's looking. I go, and I pick it up. And I go there, I go, subhanAllah, man, you know, astaghfirullah. And you keep going. Sister sees it, she goes, oh my God, a righteous man. He moved the obstacle off the road. This is what I'm looking for. He doesn't care if people see him or don't. Or maybe I give in charity. But I will not give in charity. I will not give in charity unless it's on the phone. Is my hair good, bro? Angle. Wait. Let him starve for a bit. When I'm ready. There you go. Oh, a little bit of tears. And after that, nothing's on there. I don't do any of that. Yeah, no, you catch the drift. If I intend to do something for other than the sake of Allah, that's when I move away from Allah. But so long as you're a believer and you want Allah to accept your deed, khalas, anything you do in the day. Look, I'll tell you something. Wake up in the morning and say a little dua. I'll make it easy for you. Say, oh Allah, I ask you for the goodness of this day and I ask you to protect me from any evil of this day. Accept my deeds. That's it. Anything you do from that day of goodness, inshallah, is rewarded and brings you closer to Allah. Then he said, then my servant starts doing voluntary acts, which I did not make obligatory upon him, it doesn't for my sake, and starts to get that much closer to me, closer and closer and closer and closer and closer, hatta uhibbu, until I start loving him. This love that Allah is talking about is a very high form of love. It's higher. Then he says, and when I love him to that extent, what is the sign? How do you know Allah truly loves you to a high degree? Listen carefully. He says, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I become his hearing, which he hears with. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And his sight with which he sees with. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطُشُ بِهَا. And his hand which he works with and touches and does things. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And his foot or his leg which he walks on. وَإِنْ سَأَلَنِي. And if he were to ask me, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ, I will give him. وَلَئِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي, and if he seeks my refuge, لَأُعِذَنَّ, I will protect him. What does it mean that he becomes your hearing and your sight and your hand and your foot? This is metaphorical, not literal, of course. I become his hearing, meaning suddenly you reach a level where you yourself will love listening to things that Allah loves. And you yourself will find automatically that for some reason you start to dislike listening to the old things that Allah dislikes and hates. It doesn't matter what it is. Allah dislikes it. Suddenly you love listening to the Quran. Before you didn't. Suddenly you love listening to Islamic reminders. You even go to sleep on them. It makes you calm. That's a sign that there is something happening. Suddenly, you love listening to advice of that person you used to run away from when they told you, it's salat time, brother. Sister, the covering. Sister, the salat. Brother, the words that you're saying. But suddenly, their words are like honey to you. You no longer take offense from them. Suddenly, you like to listen to things that get you closer to Allah, that remind you of goodness. And then you hate listening to gossip, you hate listening to backbiting, you hate listening to swear words, you hate listening to abuse, you hate listening to just wasteful talk. You hate listening to, for example, you know, filthy music and dirty pop music and things like that that tell you to do all sorts of things. Isn't that correct? We know the pop world, don't we? What's the pop music? You tell a common person, hey bro, they say, is it halal to listen to music? If I said yes, what are they going to listen to? Beethoven? Beethoven or whatever his name is? You know, the old singers, Umm Kulthum and Fairuz, they're old school, the Arabic ones. No one even listens to Michael Jackson anymore. That's old school. Now they want the big stuff. The stuff that teaches really, 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 really bad morals. I don't even want to get into that area. But the point is, brothers and sisters, you find your ears starting to listen to the things that bring you closer to Allah, and they start to hate listening to the things that displease Allah. What about your eyes? Your eyes enjoy looking at the things that Allah loves and begin to hate looking at things, or find pain. And the regret hits you a lot when you look at haram things on the internet, on the TV, in a book. Of course, we don't live on another planet, so I know that there are haram things around us. We're not asked to be super Muslims. Sometimes you might watch something that has a lot of good in it and maybe a couple of things come past. We're not talking about the incidental haram things that your eye catches on. We're talking about deliberate over and over again, looking, 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 looking. No regret, no trying to change yourself. Suddenly your eyes find it easy to look away. Your hands, you start wanting to use them in good, you start getting great good ideas, and they hate to do the wrong thing. And your legs like to go to places which Allah loves and start to dislike going to places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. Before you used to, now you're different. This, my brothers and sisters, is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, you're at a level of a height of extreme love, or you're starting on the way, inshaAllah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Allah loves his servant, he calls out to Gabriel, the angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, O Jibreel, I love so and so. And then Jibreel goes to the other angels and says, Allah loves so and so. So the angels start to love that person because of Allah's love. So Jibreel loves him, and the trillions, astronomical numbers of angels that fill the entire universe love that person too. And they all say, Allah loves so and so, we love him too. فَيُحِبُّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ, all the people of the heavens, or the angels of the heavens, love him. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and then on earth you find that the person finds acceptance. People lean towards that person. They find a likeness to that person. Who finds a likeness to that person? Not the evil people. The people are also righteous. They never recognized him or her before, but now suddenly, subhanAllah, they catch their eye. Suddenly you find yourself, subhanAllah, I don't know, I'm being steered towards different people who I used to have before. Before, all I met was this person, that, but this person who just talks about rubbish, and this person who talks about girls, and this person talks about boys, and this person talks about just money, 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 money all day. This person talks about drugs. This person talks about the, I don't know what world, and this person talks about... And then suddenly, I've been meeting people who have a different language. They're talking about the hereafter. They're talking about Allah. They're talking about the real purpose of life, the real meaning that I'm with. Where did these people come out from? And these people lean towards you, and they find a likeness to you. This means, inshallah, something is good about you. And then if you are in a particular, let's say, expertise, let's say you started a type of project which is good. Let's say you're in da'wah, or you're teaching Quran, or you're teaching a skill for the benefit of Allah, to benefit the Muslims and to make them stronger. And you're doing it for the sake of Allah, and then you find that people are following you. They're coming towards you. They're learning from you. They like you. This is also a sign of Allah's love to you. So, depending on the level, sometimes a person, wallahi, never talks about their good deeds. You might not talk anything. Nobody knows how much charity you give. Nobody knows how good you are at home. Nobody knows what you do in the secret. You've never told anyone. But somehow, Allah makes it exposed. Allah makes your good work become exposed even if you try to hide it. Why? Allah likes you to shine. Allah likes you to shine. So long as you are not the person who wanted to go and show off, Allah makes you shine. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man tawadha lillahi rafa'a." Whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, meaning if I do this good work, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. Allah will raise that person. And I'll give you a kind of a practical approach from a non-Islamic perspective. It also fits in line with whoever humbles themselves, Allah will raise them. How? If we put Islam aside for a minute and look at it from a practical approach. The experts say that of self-development, if you appear deliberately below your actual reality, when people find out about you, they're more likely to be more impressed when they know your reality. But if you go around trying hard to appear above your reality, so you're a fake person, a fraud, maybe not a fraud, but not to that extent, but some people just show off a little bit, or they appear above their reality, when a person gets to know that person and finds out their reality is lower than that, they kind of get disappointed. And sometimes you might not be a fraud or a fakester or a show off or anything, but you know, people had a good impression of you, it's not your fault, and when they know you in your reality, you tend to get a bit disappointed when the person's reality is not as you thought. Right? Celebrities have that problem a lot. A lot of da'is who become famous and known, they have this problem, you know. They say, well, you know, I'm just a normal person. And people, when they listen to you, they think, mashallah, this person's like an angel. And I've seen this happen before. So people who, they become good Muslims, they go to the masjid, and then they meet good people, or they meet people who they thought, mashallah, all their lives they're righteous and I wish I was like them. And then one day, as they got closer, maybe they saw one or two or three bad habits from that righteous Muslim they always thought so highly about, and then they get very disappointed. Or I've even seen people go to the other extremes. They leave Islam altogether, or they say, I'm never going to go to the mosque again. No, don't do that. That's the shaitan. Each and every one of you has a potential to be a leader of Islam. Allah doesn't look at you who you're following. Allah looks at you how you become. But you know, when you thought so highly about someone, and then suddenly it's not, it doesn't appear exactly as they were, you kind of get a little bit of disappointment, right? So, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَ. Whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah lifts them. He lifts them. There was a man at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who the Prophet, peace be upon him, sent him, hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, he sent him on a mission with a group of his companions. And this man, he was their leader, on this trip. So he used to pray imam. And I'll just take a little break here to tell you some little Islamic knowledge here about fiqh of leading the prayer as an imam. Normally, the person who leads the prayer, the person should be appointed is the one who recites it the best, correct? And then the one who after him, the closest and so on. But in certain cases, this rule does not apply. When I'm visiting you at your house, you are the lord of the house. You have the priority of leading the salah, even if I read the Quran better than you 10 times, so long as you're okay. Number two, if we're a group and you're a leader of that group, the leader leads. And a school, for example, the director or the principal, if he's a man, he has the first say of leading in the school, for example. The director has the first. So in the area of leadership, the leader leads. But in every other case, you're all together, you just go on a holiday, you're some boys together, you're some sisters together, the one who recites the best should lead. All right. So in this case, this companion went on this trip with these companions, was their leader, so he used to lead the prayer, even though other companions read better than him. Every time he would recite Al-Fatiha, he would recite another surah, any parts of the Qur'an, but he will always insist that in the first two rak'ahs, no matter what he's recited, he will always conclude with Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ, which means, say, He is Allah, the one and only. He is the eternal. He does not father anyone, nor is he fathered by anyone, and there is no comparison, competition, or likeness to him ever. This Sahabi used to recite it every single time. So the other Sahabas came up to him and said, you don't have to recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad every time. Either recite Al-Ikhlas and go to Ruku' or recite another surah and just leave Ikhlas every single time. You don't have to do it. They thought that maybe he thought you have to do it. He said, no, I know I don't have to recite Al-Ikhlas. But I recited the Ikhlas from the intense love that I have for its meaning. I'm not telling you guys to do it, but I just can't help myself. I love to read it because I have a love for it and it gives me immense reminder and connection with my Creator. What is it? He said, it is the best description and definition of the most merciful who he really is. And that is most beloved to my heart. Because nothing is like him. He is the one and only. He never fathered anyone. None has ever fathered him. He is the eternal. There's absolutely nothing like unto him. He says, the most merciful is like that. So when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ heard about it, he asked them, why does he recite Al-Ikhlas? What's the purpose, first of all? And I'll tell you if it's right or wrong. And when he asked him, he said, Ya Rasulallah, it's because of my love for what it means. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, then said, أخبروه أن الله تعالى يحبه. Tell him that Allah Most High loves him. Loves him. Because he, not because he's reciting Qul Huwallahu Ahad. So now, you can't go now and say, you know what, I'm going to do what this Sahaba did. I'm going to earn Allah's love by just reciting Qul Allahu Ahad. You know, we do this on the radio station. When there's Quran, kids come and go, what would you like to recite for us today? And the kid goes, Qul Allahu Ahad. Everybody can do that. But there's a difference. What is the secret here about this man? Why does Allah love him? Is it because he just recited Qul Allahu Ahad? No. It's because of what's in his heart. And his love for what it means. There's a difference when you stand in and you recite and you're just reciting. And when a person is reciting and they're with it and they love it, maybe you choose a verse which your heart really moves with. Allah. Allah loves you for the love that you have for his words, for him. So you see, it has deeper meaning. Do you remember, I always repeat this, in Bukhari, you know, about the story of that woman who was a prostitute? In the time of the children of Israel. Some say it was a woman, some would say it was a man. But they had a grievous sin. Nobody would accept them, they wanted to repent. They had no other good deed except to see a dog that was panting and was thirsty. So the lady comes, takes off her shoe and puts water in it and gives it to the dog. And she said, Subhanallah, he's thirsty as I was. Maybe Allah will forgive me for this good deed. And Allah forgave all her prostitution. Allah forgave the man, whatever he had done, grievous sins. You might be saying, what? From feeding it up. Now, we can't just grab a shoe and go, all right, get me some old shoe. Ah, there it is. I'll go get some water. I'll look for a stray dog and I'll go and give him some water. Be careful, the dog might bite you. But it's not about what she did. It's about where it came from. Do you understand the difference? She had a burning passion for Allah to forgive her most regretful, shameful deed that was eating her up alive. Regret deeply, shame for the sake of Allah, seriously wanting Allah to forgive her. That's what Allah is looking at. Not the act, but what's coming out from here. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was told about an old woman who prayed a lot, fasted a lot, recited a lot, gave in charity a lot, but she was terrible. Terrible and nasty to her neighbors. They said she died, Ya Rasulullah. He says, La khayra fiha innaha finnar. There is no good in her, she's in the fire. They said, Ya Rasulullah, another woman, she doesn't fast as much, she doesn't pray as much, she doesn't recite as much, she doesn't give in charity as much, but she is tremendously good to her neighbors and to the people, she is generous. He said, there is good in her, she is in paradise. One had more greater acts of worship, the other one didn't as much. But something else came out. You see, some people worship and they pray, but there's something wrong in their hearts. The salat is not working for them. And some people, a little bit of salat works tremendously for them. One good thing that I advise people is that, you know, when you feel down and when something's gone wrong with you, run to prayer. you're going to feel that prayer very differently. Recite al-Fatiha, you're going to feel that Fatiha different. Because every time you come to Salat and your Fatiha, no matter what's happening in your day, something feels different. And it cleans up your heart. When you're very happy and excited and you're celebrating, go and pray. Wallahi, you're going to feel your prayer differently. Why not share this excitement with your Creator, Allah, who led you to there and gave you this success? You understand? There's something about being so excited and so scared or sad, and you're running to the salah, it has an effect on your heart from different angles. It brings the love of Allah. Finally, brothers and sisters, I'll enumerate some of the things which Allah loves in a person. How do you know them? Number one, you feel it. Number two, you find that you enjoy doing good deeds. Number three, you find that you start to despise and no longer enjoy doing bad deeds. Number four, you find that you want to be closer to the places of worship and to the people who remind you of worship. These are five simple signs that Allah's love is there, and it increases. Some people, my brothers and sisters, wallahi, as soon as they start salat and they're at home, their family's watching them, they have to remind them to do ruku', bowing. You know why? Because they get so into salat that the iman is so high. They get into their salat and they're so into their recitation, they forget to make ruku'. They forget to go down. They're just standing there in a trance. And I tell them, make ruku'. Let's say they're praying night prayer. Fajr is almost going to come. La ilaha illallah. Have you met these type of people? There's not many of them. May Allah make us among them. There are those people who recite the Quran and they get very tired after the first page. That's normal. But there are other people who recite the first page and they say, whew, I want to recite it again and again and again. They can't get off it. Okay. We can work our way up, inshallah, by taking step by step. Allah always calls us. Here are some things which earn the love of Allah. Now, whichever one you can do good here, increase in it. Whichever one you're not so good at it, try to do it. So the things you think you're good at, because everybody's got different personalities. Some of you have got a natural kind-heartedness. Other of you have, a natural, generosity. Some of you have a little bit of selfishness. Some of you have a little bit of anger. Some of you have a little bit of the ability to teach. The others, you have ability, for example, to guide. Whichever of these that you see here that you're strong at, I want you to focus on that and do it better, and then add another one, inshallah. Number one, the top of the rank after worship of Allah, Allah loves good character. Good character. What's good character? Not what people tell you good character is. Good character is what Allah told us and what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. When I was teaching at school, sometimes students misunderstand. They watch too much social media and too much Netflix. What happens is they think that if you have a boyfriend and girlfriend, in Islam we all know that it's marriage. If you honor and respect someone, you love them, you get married to them. You don't go and sleep together and you go out together and do haram and hanky-panky and hodgepodge stuff. What you do is, you work towards getting married, inshallah. Now, I know the topic of marriage is big. We'll talk about that another time. But just as an example, I can't go and do something haram and then I buy her flowers and I take her out and I'm generous to her and I treat her like a queen and then I say, wallah, I'm a generous person. She's my girlfriend. And generosity and goodness has to be in the right place, not in the wrong place. So now we think that, oh, that's so cute, that's so nice. No, it's not. According to Allah, it's not. But if you were married, yes. If she was your sister, yes. She was your brother, yes. She was your father, yes. Your mother, yes. Your cousin, your friend, random person who needs you doing generosity, that's fine. But not in haram. Not in haram. I go to a shisha joint. I probably put a bit of marijuana on there. I chuff a little bit. And I say, you know what, brothers and sisters, Allah is most loving. No, you're wrong, it's haram. The other one goes, no bro, it's halal, don't make halal and haram what you think. And they just go into this religious conversation, and they're going high. Someone even said to me, he goes, you know what bro, when I'm high, wallah, I feel closer to Allah. I said, I don't think so, mate. Something's going closer to Allah. Bala. Drugs kill you. Drugs destroy you and destroy your families. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people who have good character. Allah loves the one who pardons. You know what pardoning means? It means somebody deserves to be punished, but you pardon them. Allah loves people who are easygoing and kind. Allah loves those who praise Allah. And Allah loves those who compliment others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who give excuses, because Allah gives you excuses. Allah loves the one who swears oath by Allah's name and no other name. They say, I swear by Allah. So long as you're not lying, so long as you're not doing that Lebanese thing. Wallah, 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 wallah. Wallah, what I said, me, when I see these wallah, wallah people, I say, he's lying. What she said, wallah, lying. Or inshallah, inshallah, parents, inshallah. It ain't happening, bro. Just go to your room, sit down. Just say alhamdulillah and count your losses. Of course, not everybody is like that. Saying wallah is not always haram. And if I say wallah, if I come up to you and I go, bro, the other day I went over there and wallah, there were so many kangaroos. Wallah, there was about 1,000. Maybe there was 200. Maybe there was 10. But exaggeration in wallah is not haram. Yani it's just language. I say, bro, wallah, it's so hot today, I'm burning. You're not really burning. But you said wallah, no, it's okay. So Allah says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم. Allah does not hold you accountable when you say wallah just out of conversation, you don't mean it. But if someone asks me and says, did you steal it? No, say wallah. I say, wallah, I didn't say, but I did steal it. Ah, that's a big one. Or if I say, wallahi, I will be doing such and such a thing. And then I don't do it, I have to fast 3 days to compensate. So when you're wallah and it's deliberate, then yes, it's a sin. Or when I say wallahi on something that is a lie, this is the dipper. The Prophet ﷺ said called dipper. Not Dippy Remenica, the footy player, if you know him, the 80s. Hawthorne, no? My age people, thank you. Give me some credit. Barakallahu fiqh. This generation doesn't know the old footy players. They're all too weak at the moment. Isn't that right? So the days back in the 80s, I just mentioned a footy player. Dipper, okay. So there's a dip in hellfire. I don't mean the footy player. I meant Allahu Alam. May Allah guide him. Maybe he becomes a Muslim. But I'm saying, Rasulullah said, beware of the dipper. I said, what is the dip, Ya Rasulullah? He said, it is the dip in hellfire. I said, what does it mean? He said, the person who swears oath on a lie. Swear oath on a lie to get someone in trouble. Swear oath on a lie to sell a product and you're lying about it. Wallahi, brother, this phone, I just bought it yesterday, $2,000. You can take it for $1,500. I just lied to you. Maybe it's all faulty and I found it in a rubbish bin. Lie. La, on Allah's name. But wallah, bro, wallah, I'm feeling okay. Wallah, you know, we say this in Arabic, that's okay. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who swear oath by His name when it's truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who take pride, to stand up against injustice. Those who stand up in justice and they take pride and they say it with their word, Allah loves that person. Allah loves a person who, when they give in charity, they're proud in giving charity. Alhamdulillah. And by the way, some people think that if they gave charity, they're absolutely not allowed to tell anyone. That's wrong. You are allowed to tell people, especially if you're happy about it. You're allowed to go back to your mum and dad, or to your wife, or to your husband, or to your children, and say, SubhanAllah, you know what, today, Alhamdulillah, I gave $1,000 charity. I'm so proud of it. That's good. Allah rewards you for being proud. قُلْ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Say, be happy and rejoice over the good deeds that you do. But what's haram is when you tell people with the intention of being praised or being complimented or showing off for a worldly gain. So if I'm telling you because I want something, then your charity is gone down the drain. But if I tell you because I'm happy, or even better than that, if I tell you to encourage you, say, bro, I just gave $1,000, alhamdulillah, and I went back to work, you know, alhamdulillah, 1 year later, mashallah, my business is growing. Not because of the charity, but my sadaqah didn't affect me. And then I encourage you, go, you know what? I don't know why I'm afraid of giving charity. He goes and gives charity, mashallah. So, bro, you know, I've been fasting, you know, every Mondays and Thursdays all my life. Alhamdulillah, I'm very healthy. I've been going to the gym. I still make muscle. You go, wow, bro, you got a sick body. You know, you fast Mondays and Thursdays. I used to be afraid of that. So, no, bro, you just do this. And I've encouraged you now to fast Mondays and Thursdays, for example. So, when you talk about your good deeds with pride or to encourage people, you're actually rewarded for it. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who take pride in their good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves al-ihsanu fil amal. He loves when people do a job for someone, or they help someone, or they interacting with someone, or treating someone in a certain way. Allah loves that you do a little bit extra good. Not too much, extra good, within measure. With a smile, with a nice word, for example. With kindness, with mercy, with character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have jealousy in the right place. What does jealousy mean? Jealousy is a bad word. But maybe if I meant jealousy as in protection. Your honor is valuable. You have integrity. Your wife is valuable. Your daughter is honorable. Your character is honorable. Your children are honorable. Your mother is honorable. This is called ghira. Protection that has a type of jealousy that is good. It's more of protection. That you defend them, you stand up for them, you protect them. But also, when our family goes astray or starts to act in a haram way, in their dress code or in their language or in their behavior, we also stand up to guide them out of this protection. Not over protection, but protection within measures. If you have someone in your family who does that, of course with goodness and with wisdom, not with harshness and with abuse, a'udhu billah, then that's a reverse effect. With goodness and kindness, to care about them, you advise them, and it hurts you to see them that way. If you have that type of a person, then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has put that person in your life. That they remind you when you slip into haram, they remind you. Don't get upset with them. But of course, I advise my brothers and sisters, don't be harsh to each other. If you're harsh and hard-hearted, judgmental, abusive, they'll run away from you and it's your fault, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like these types of people. Last things I want to say, Allah loves people who like to show Allah's blessings upon them. Some people think that you've got to look so humble and daggy and you're not allowed to wear nice clothes, you're not allowed to look good. No, quite the opposite. A Muslim looks honorable, looks beautiful. We're not talking about following trends and fashions here. We're talking about you look presentable, you look clean, you're well-groomed, you dress nicely. You walk with cleanliness, you walk with happiness, you walk with beauty. Men and women, within Islamic measures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to when people are happy with the blessings that Allah has given them. Allah gave you money, Allah gave you a nice car, gave you a nice house, and you look at it and say, alhamdulillah, I'm so happy with Allah's blessing. There's a difference between looking at it and say, me, bro. That was me. My car, got to move up in life, bro. I'm just showing it off. No, not like that. I wear Louis Vuitton, I come out and I say, I don't talk to people like that. I talk to him. I choose who I talk to and who's not allowed to talk to me. No. That type is arrogance. We're talking about somebody, you wear your Louis Vuitton, you have your nice car, you go into dinner, you wear nice clothes, and you say, Allah alhamdulillah, nothing is from me, all from the blessing of Allah, and you're generous to others, and if somebody that can't afford what you afford, and you're going to meet with them, dress down. Just for their sake. This is a sign of a person who is humble. And you're generous. This is nothing wrong with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who reconcile, who help others reconcile their affairs, to resolve disputes between people, to bring people back together, friends, family. Allah loves these types of people. Allah loves the people who sneeze and say Alhamdulillah. Not those who have the very loud sneezes and scares everybody. But if it's not your fault, it's not your fault. There's a friend of mine who travels with me, mashallah, looks after the travels. When he's about to sneeze, brothers and sisters, man, I've got to hide somewhere. Everybody takes cover, mashallah. But after he sneezed, he says, Alhamdulillah, I say, Alhamdulillah. He says, Yahdikum Allah. How cute. He says, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. I say, may Allah have mercy on you, Alhamdulillah. He says, Yahdikum Allah, may Allah guide you and fix your affairs. How beautiful was that sneeze? The best sneeze in the world. So Allah loves people who say Alhamdulillah after they sneeze, and the other person makes dua for him, exchanging these beautiful words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who, when they do a good deed, they start a habit, a good deed. He likes consistency, not quantity. But if you can have quantity and consistency, oh, you're on a higher level. But having a large quantity but no consistency, Allah does not like that. He loves that you take things 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, are you going to be consistent with those 5? You could do 100. But if you're going to do 100 and the next day leave it, no. Allah likes you to do, okay, do 5 and go 100. Of course, the minimum is the obligations. But once you start a good deed, Allah loves that you're consistent. And at the same time, if you do a job, you do a good deed, you do a project, you fix something for someone, you do a service for someone, someone hires you for something, you fix your house, you do anything, Allah loves a person who perfects their work. You plan, you manage, you do homework, you do your assignments, you do your exam, you study, you build something, you start a project, you help someone, you do a work for someone, you serve. Rasulullah said, Allah loves those who do their best at it. Not mediocre, not cutting corners, right? Leaving out this and leaving out that. Allah does not like a person who does things like that. And Allah loves those who bring happiness and cheer into someone's heart and life. If I bring happiness into your life for the sake of Allah, Allah loves that person. He loves that act and He loves that part of the person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who say, I am the servant of the most merciful. I am the servant of the most kind. Mentioning Allah's name like that. These are some of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah loves when a husband and wife forgive one another, reconcile with one another. He loves it that after they fight, so they fight, but after they fight, they make amends. Allah loves the husband who covers for his wife's faults and the wife cover for her husband's faults. Allah loves when parents spend on their children, look after them and care for them. Allah loves when children are extra good to their parents, even when their parents are not as good as they should be. Allah loves that. Allah loves these types. Now, last thing, all these things I told you that Allah loves, guess what? The shaitan hates. The opposite of it, the shaitan hates. He hates it. So, who are you going to be an ally to? Whose love do you want? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Figure out one or two things tonight that you would like to improve on in these that we said, and try to make it your habit. Invest in that hereafter stock market and watch how it rises, inshallah. It goes down a little bit, next day, lift it back up. Invest more. Think of it as a stock market. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has purchased from the believers themselves in exchange for paradise. So it is a trade. You have made a trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another verse Allah says, رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا. He speaks about Rijal who were truthful to their promise when they made it to Allah. So it is a trade and it's an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those whom He loves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us loving of Allah. And brothers and sisters, let me teach you this dua. Repeat after me. I hope inshallah you can memorize this dua. If not, there is a book. What do I always call it? The book of dua. Husn al-Muslim in English. Fortress of the Muslim. Where do we download it from? Let's make advertisement for App Store. Okay. Advertisement for App Store, Balut Store. App Store or Samsung, wherever you go to, download this app, Fortress of the Muslim, full of dua, full of words that the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us to say in the night and day. One of the du'as is this one. Ready? Allahumma rizukna hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba kulla amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik. Who's memorized it? Yalla.
Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak.
نسألك أيوة اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب كل عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. Oh our Lord, oh Allah, we ask you for your love and the love of those who love you and the love of every action that brings us closer to your love. That is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally, brothers and sisters, I love you all for the sake of Allah. Say to me, أحبك الله الذي أحببتنا لأجله أو له. نعم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين. Show car parked in the wrong place? No, not today. Alhamdulillah. No car parked in the wrong place today. Congratulations. All right, so we've got here temptation, doubt, and entertainment. Young believers and their struggles. I love this topic. The speaker is Ustad Hisham Abu Yusuf, guest speaker from the UK. There'll be a talk by him, inshallah, on Thursday, February the 13th, between Maghrib and Aisha at this mosque. Join us for a thought-provoking discussion on the challenges of temptation, doubt, and entertainment in our daily lives. Don't miss this opportunity to gain valuable insights and strengthen your faith. See you this Thursday, tomorrow. Tomorrow, inshallah. Maghrib, like now. Maghrib to Aisha. Alrighty? All good? Any questions or is it time for Aisha? 5 minutes? Where's the... If we've got 5 minutes, we can get some questions. 5 minutes? The Mu'adhin's not here. Alright. Does anyone have any questions about anything? We've got Ramadan coming up, I know, or if there's any other questions. Yes, tafaddal.
Are we not required to make an intention for the voluntary act?
Are we not required to what?
Make an intention for the voluntary act.
So brother here is asking, are we not required to make an intention for a voluntary act? No, you are not required to make an intention for a voluntary act. I'll tell you why. The moment you are Muslim, the moment you have said the Shahada, your intention from the beginning has been that, oh Allah, accept my good deeds. So the moment you do a good deed, there's no need for voluntary acts do not need an intention, except if you have the opposite intention. Yani, by default, any good deed a Muslim does is rewarded. Unless your intention is the opposite at that time, then you have to renew your intention.
So should we still strive to make an intention for the voluntary?
No, there's no need to strive to make an intention, because you know what's going to happen? It's going to debilitate you. Can you imagine every single good deed you have to make an intention for it? No. So we actually spoke about this in one of my talks called Sincerity and Intentions, and ulama are unanimous that voluntary acts do not need an intention so long as you're a believer and you generally intend for, you generally want Allah to reward you, unless your intention is the opposite. For example, if I want to go and take this book and put it up there, or I gave it to you, brother, can you please put it up there? Is that a good deed or a bad deed? A good deed. If you go and take it, the fact that you're a Muslim believer in Allah and you like Allah to reward you, you are rewarded. Now, I'll tell you when your intention has to be for a voluntary act. You ready? If I gave you this book and then you looked around and you said, it's time for me to impress people and I like people to look at me, or you have some otherworldly gain, and you took it from me for that intention, then you have to renew your intention. But by default, what are you doing? Good deed for the sake of Allah. You understand what I'm saying? Aywa. The only deeds you have to make an intention for are the obligatory actions. Which brings me to Ramadan. When you fast, you don't have to make an intention to fast every single day of Ramadan. Why? Because you've made your intention at the start of Ramadan for the entire month. When do you renew your intention? When your intention changes. So, or when I've gone overseas. Let's say I went overseas and I stopped fasting. But I would like to fast when I'm overseas. Make the intention. Or I came back and I found myself sick. So, you know, I can break the fast. But then I don't want to, so I make the intention. What's the intention? Basically, it's in your heart. Otherwise, you keep going on cruise. Make sense?
Yeah.
You have a question.
You need to verbalize any intention.
No, you do not need to verbalize the intention. There is nothing in the Quran and Sunnah says you have to verbalize the intention, except in a few acts of worship, such as Hajj and Umrah. Yeah. So intention is in the heart. Mahalluhul qalb. The scholars unanimously agree that intention is places in the heart. Some scholars say it's preferable to say it with your mouth. But the reason they say to say it with your mouth, they don't say it because it's from the sunnah. They tell you, you say it with your mouth because it kind of just reminds us of what I'm doing. But to say that you have to say it with your mouth, or that it creates better deeds, or it makes the action better, is wrong. That is not true. So the intention is in the heart. I'll give you an example. If I'm coming to pray Isha right now, my intention is Isha. Correct? Your intention is to come to pray right now, Isha. And then you accidentally said, I intend, with your mouth, I intend to pray Maghrib. Would your Salat be accepted as Isha or Maghrib? My heart, your intention is to pray Isha, and it's Isha time. But you accidentally said, I intend to pray Maghrib. Do you go by the heart or the mouth? The heart. So therefore everything returns back to the heart. Aywa. Last question, Tfaddal Habib. Correct. Good question. All our lives have been told that it's an authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that seven types of people will be shaded under Allah's shade, under His protection, on the Day of Judgment. One of them is the one who donates with his right hand, does not let his left hand know what his right hand donated. This is not literal. This is metaphorical. It's symbolic. What does it mean? It means in simple terms, the one who gives charity, right, in secret. Yeah, so the one who gives charity in secret. And the question is, why is he giving it in secret? Because of sincerity. So the meaning of the hadith is those who give in charity with sincerity. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, but I said, it's good to be proud and sometimes to say to encourage. Yeah, so we go back to your original meaning. Why is giving it in secret good? Because you are sincere. Correct? So, if I can give something sincerely and tell people to encourage them, am I still fulfilling the meaning of the hadith or not? I lost you, didn't I? Again, the meaning of the hadith of giving in secret is because it helps the sincerity. So it comes down to sincerity. So if I gave in secret but I'm not sincere, would it be accepted? Even though it was a secret. Therefore, the meaning of secrecy means that you are sincere. And obviously when people give in secret, it means they don't do it to show off. So they often give charity and they don't care if people saw it or didn't see it. So when I'm in a charity event and I do it with the intention of encouraging other people, then I go with this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are proud of their good deeds, and those who guide others to do good deeds. Yeah, and I'll give you, that's in Bukhari as well. A man came to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was a group of people who were very poor. They came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he felt sorry for them. Then he stood up and he said, oh people, anyone who can help these people with anything. And nobody moved. Then one Sahabi, forgot his name, he comes up and he gives a bunch of coins in front of everyone. He didn't do it in secret. He did it in front of everyone. Then the Prophet, peace be upon him, looked up and he said, whoever initiates a good deed and then others follow by seeing him doing it, right? They follow in that good deed and they continue it, will have the reward of everyone who follows him or her and does it. So from here now we understand the hadith of giving with the right hand, it means that person doesn't care if people see them or don't see them, is they're sincere. And now we understand, okay, and in open, If you're doing it for the sake of Allah, even in open, then you are double rewarded, inshallah. You understand? So we have to understand Islam holistically, not just one hadith or two hadiths. We put it all together. Jazakum Allahu khair. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.